Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.
Now then, welcome back. So I'm honoured. The Off the Brawl team are here in the studio. These are exciting times.
This is the big time, isn't it?
I know. For Joe.
Yeah. No, for me, 100% yeah. For me. We have Andy Lee in studio, we have Ronan Mullen in studio. Is there a recently recorded Off the Brawl coming people's way soon?
Picking out this evening. From 10 p.m. So you're getting a double dose.
Competition here, so you can compare. People can listen to this and then see what you guys offer up. See if I get anything extra out of you.
Exactly.
The reason we've all come together is because Lomachenko against Luke Campbell is happening this Saturday in the O2 Arena. The vacant WBC lightweight title is up for grabs. Lomachenko already holds the WBA and WBO belts. And he has what now? Won belts in three divisions in basically no time. In the space of 15 fights, he's managed to rack all this up. So we are talking about somebody fighting in the UK for the first time who is, in your eyes, not just the best in the world, but he's now stretching into other eras and maybe even beyond.
Yeah, arguably the best of all time.
It just feels sacrilege to say that. Yeah.
And it's so hard to say after only, what, 14 fights, 15 fights? So,
14.
But it's hard to... Well, for us, we spoke about it on After Brawl. It's very hard to remember a fighter in our memory, from abroad, coming to fight in England, who's as good. He's probably the best foreign fighter.
Because just thinking about it, I put up a tweet at the time just trying to actually get people to come up with suggestions, and there were a few, but like Marvin Hagler came in 1980, just before he really hit the big time. Muhammad Ali came again, like he wasn't quite at his best. And there have been, like Mike Tyson obviously came over again past his best. So this guy's in his absolute prime and the highest level fighter, I'd say, that's ever come to the UK.
It took him 12 professional bouts to earn world belts in featherweight, super featherweight and lightweight divisions. So he's fighting for this vacant belt now, the WBC, which would just leave the IBF belt. Richard Comey holds that, standing in his way of becoming undisputed champion. He's 5'7". That's three different weight divisions. Is a fourth on the card for this guy? Like, where's this going to stop? He's 31 years old now, Ukrainian.
It's hard to see him, I don't know. It's not because of his ability, it's just because of his lack of size. And even fighting Luke Campbell at lightweight is a stretch, isn't it? It's a stretch for him.
What would Campbell be?
Campbell, in terms of height, he's
3 inches taller.
Yeah, he's touching like...
And the reach is 6 inches longer.
So just 6 foot.
And it's more than 3 inches, I think, if you see them like facing off. I think it's a generous 3 inches for Lomachenko. He looks a lot taller. And he'll fill out on fight night as well, in a way that Lomachenko won't. So, but the, like again, we probably get to it, but it's probably not going to be an issue, you know.
Yeah, you're not so worried about it.
Size advantage only stretches to a point when you're taking on someone like that.
How difficult did you find it against somebody who could outreach you or was taller than you? You were a pretty big middleweight.
Yeah,
obviously.
I always had that advantage, and fortunately, I never fought anybody like Lomachenko. But that's what Luke Campbell has to try to rely on. Play to your strengths, use your advantages, and his height and reach, and maybe he's being physically stronger. Ron mentioned that he'll be a lot heavier on the night after the weigh-in. To try to make it an ugly fight, try to make it a boring fight at times where he uses his legs. He's a tall, rangy southpaw, Campbell, and he's a stiff puncher. So he has enough power to get, I think, to get Lomachenko's respect. And so he'll have to move and make it a, try not to engage with him and put the pressure on, the onus on Lomachenko to impress, because in some ways, pressure is on Lomachenko because he's coming to England to sell himself to a broader audience. Five fans, hardcore, like, five fans, they know who he is, they've seen all his fights. But for casual fans, this will be the first time seeing him. So it's really, the onus is on him to impress. And for Campbell, he can use that to his advantage by making it a born fight, by tying him up, by bumping him around, by stiff-arming him, roughing him up, and then see how the fight plays out in the second half of the fight. It's important for Campbell not to take much damage early on in the fight and try to make it a fight in the second half.
Lomachenko's fought 396 amateur fights. He's lost just the once. Featherweight gold Olympian in 08 and then lightweight Olympic gold in 2012. Why so long an amateur? Why only 15 professional fights at the age of 31?
Well, to be an Olympic champion from Eastern Europe, it's held in a higher regard than the professional, really. And I think, you know, they put that on equal terms. Mm. So he's always been a superstar in his home country and in amateur boxing.
So would he have been a very wealthy amateur boxer?
He was very successful in WSB, so in terms of amateur boxing, he would be, yeah. As much as Katie Taylor was when she was here in Ireland, you know.
But he could have gone earlier to try and make the big money,
He could have, yeah. But it's only been in recent years that Eastern Europeans are turning professional in America and having success. Before, I'm not sure if there was the market appeal for people with the name ending in, like, Golovkin or, you know, Lomachenko with the, you know, Klitschko or whatever it is, Kovalev. I don't think they could identify with them. But now it's, boxing's kind of gone to a global level where you can be from anywhere. As long as you can hold up in the ring and you're good enough, then you will get the fights and the purses.
Mm. He was saying, by the way, of his future and where this all goes for him now at 31. So say he's undisputed lightweight champion. He said, something has to end. I want to hunt. I want to go fishing every day. I can't do it at the moment because I have to train every day. And my motivation, my goal is the 4 titles at lightweight. After that, I don't know what happens. That sounds like a guy who's starting to reach that point where, you know, end game comes really into sight.
The time has been of the essence for him. Like, as you said there, from the get-go, he's been targeting world titles. Like, he would have fought for a world title in his very first fight if it was allowed.
Mm.
The earliest he could do it was in the second fight, and he actually lost that one. And then the third fight, he fought for a world title and won it, which is the record.
And we say lost.
Third is the earliest.
The guy who was fighting, yeah, Orlando Salido, came in, missed weight, came in, I mean, he must have been 25 pounds heavier on the night of the fight, and repeatedly, he must have hit him 20 low blows, blatant low blows, and wasn't disqualified. And even then, he'd only lost by a majority decision. So
he won 3 world titles at 3 different weights in about 10, 11 fights. Oscar De La Hoya took him 22 fights. Has anyone managed to do 3 weight divisions in 11 fights? No.
That you mentioned, that was the record, and he just blew that out of the water.
Okay.
So, you're talking about just a special case.
He's had 14 fights in every one of them. It's been a world title fight, except for his first fight, which wasn't allowed. So, it's very even hard to describe what he does in a technical sense, but he's got so quick, his feet are so quick.
He did dancing. This has been talked about a lot. So
gymnastics, and that's basically where his foundation comes from.
Mm.
But he's an athlete, like, in the purest sense. Like, there's videos of him online where he's playing a game of tennis with himself, where he'll hit the ball from one end of the court, sprint to the other side of the court, hit the ball back to, and then sprint to the other side. Like, and he'll have a good rally with himself. Like, so, the guy's a phenomenon. And he's just so quick. With feet, hands, defense, offense, but in his brain, in his boxing brain, on how he's thinking, he's always, I don't know how, like you could say, 5 steps ahead of his opponents, because he's always setting traps, looking for openings, and working like a chess player, working ahead. He's always in control of himself in that ring, and for the most part of it, which is very rare, he's in control of what his opponent is doing as well. And that's what makes him so good.
And why is that rare? Why is that so hard to do?
Because he can, whatever you throw at him, he will use it in a way that Mayweather did as a weapon against you. Because if you've thrown a jab at him, he'll find a way to counter that jab, and then you can't throw that jab anymore. If you're throwing the right hand against him, he'll find a way to do the same to that.
Mm.
And all the time, he's peppering you. He's now the only thing that you wouldn't say he has is one punch power knockout. But I don't even know if he needs that, because obviously he stopped like all of them except one of his opponents and 2 of his opponents, actually, Gary Russell Jr., another champion who went the distance with him. But he's just so far ahead of everybody else.
Mm.
He's like a fighter we've never seen before, and it'll be a long time since we see one again.
Like, there's a pattern to all the quotes of the fighters who've come up against him. For a start, they all, to a man, talk about how tired they are so quickly. Like Jason Sosa, I gave him my best 4 rounds ever, and then my body fatigued. My body died. It was just too much. Anthony Crawley, who we've had on the show, when he went through the gears, it was a horrible feeling. It was a bit like, I can't do anything here. I've got to wait for him to stop.
These are world champions.
Mm.
You know, these guys are the best of their divisions.
And so we've had 4 in his last 6 fights not be knocked out, but just actually stay on their stools and almost gesture as if to say, like, I'm done.
And the fatigue is physical, and it's also mental, because he's always in range. You can't take a breath. You know,
He makes you throw punches when you don't want to, you know, like, so he's not imposing in the way Golovkin is imposing. He marches you down. He's just in front of you all the time.
It's just, he's just so well educated that his feints, you know, they're so convincing that he will feint at you, and he has no intention of punching, but you're convinced that he's going to punch you. So you're tightening up, you're bracing yourself all the time, and there's nothing coming, and that's just constantly. You know, that's just constant. So you're in constant state of, like, your muscles are contracted the whole time, and your breathing is, it just becomes, it's like being suffocated, you know.
Hence suddenly a wall of fatigue.
Yeah, and hence all of those opponents finding some way out one way or another.
I will come on to Luke Campbell a bit more, but just to stay on Lomachenko, Luke Campbell said he is sparring with three opponents at one time at the moment. Is this just like a kind of a joke, or is he actually genuine?
We were teasing this out earlier. I think what he means is either, like, it would be common enough that you'd be rotating sparring partners.
All the time.
No, he didn't say rotating.
No. But in this instance, I think it's...
I think it could be true, because what do you do against Lomachenko? You have to do something unusual.
Another theme in the quotes you hear is that he's where you don't expect him to be. So he'll turn around and he'll be in a different position, and he can throw any punch from any position. So I presume, like, he has just people stationed around the ring, so when he turns around for a reprieve, there's someone else there ready to get stuck in.
Andy, would you rather fight three lads or Lomachenko?
Depends on the lads.
So this potentially could be true when he's saying that.
But it's also an honour to win against somebody like Lomachenko. You know, you can switch it as well from Campbell. Mm. Like, he's an Olympic champion himself.
Yeah.
He came up short against Linares, a guy who's given Lomachenko possibly his best fight so far. He dropped Lomachenko. And he's very determined. He's got that kind of... He's kind of enhanced himself, even though he's lost two fights. Yeah. Like, he seems to be getting better now. What's he now, 29?
He's 31.
Campbell. 31.
Both 31.
So, like, and Campbell's been around a long time himself.
Saw him interviewed in Sky Sports last night, a very good interview. And he talked about, 2012, gold medal. Yeah. Talks about coming home and finding for about 18 months not wanting to leave the house because going out and being recognised was this horrible new experience. Found it very uncomfortable. Then his father fell very ill and ultimately passed away. That knocked another year out of him really being able to be his best. And he felt his training entourage wasn't right as well as set up. So he said for the first 4 years as a pro, which is up to 2016, he felt like he was almost doing it on his own. That was his perspective on his career thus far. But I thought he came across very well.
Mm. Yeah.
He's with Shane McGregor now, who has proven, like, he is a very good coach. And they'll have some sort of plan. Yeah. What they can do, it's hard to know what.
Yeah, it's difficult. Like, one thing about Campbell, he won't have the psychological hang-ups that maybe other opponents have. Andy mentioned that they're world champions, but Luke Campbell has gone to tournaments all over the world with this guy. He's seen him up close. They've gone to the same doctor one after the other. Do you know what I mean? They've been weighed in at the same thing. So they're like... not friends.
They know each other very well.
They're peers.
They would have been camps together
champion,
a lot.
You're an Olympic champion. It's like, you know, it's
of a level.
Yeah, and skill, like, no one can compare skill sets with Lomachenko, but Luke Campbell, one of the most esteemed amateurs, Britain's most esteemed amateur ever. So that's the kind of caliber of fighter we're talking about here.
Does Lomachenko get hit?
He will. But
he'll give you chances.
He will give you chances, but if you hit him once, you'll miss. You'll have to throw four or five to scrape him with one.
Crowley said he hit him and it was the worst thing he ever did because it woke him up. Like,
okay.
He was going through the motions and then Campbell landed a good body shot and that was it.
You mentioned that Linares fight in New York and there was a quote from Steve Bunce which just struck me as slightly unusual, where he was talking about the punch that won Lomachenko that fight in the 10th. He said, you couldn't see it with the naked eye. It came at a blind angle. When he hits you, he looks you in the eye. That's the line I want to ask you about. When he hits you, he looks you in the eye. So he manages to throw shots without taking his eyes off you, so you've no idea where they're coming from. Where did you look when you threw a punch?
A lot of the times you are looking at the eyes and your opponent is locked into your eyes. And then you depend on your peripherals. You know, their instincts are there, that those twitches that you can see moving the shoulders or the feet or the setting up of the move, like whatever it is, the chest that's coming forward. It is the eyes.
Right.
Most fighters would look in the eyes. A lot of times you do look at the chest, but for the most part, it's the eyes.
That seems incredibly intense.
It is, and it's very intimate, you know.
incredibly intimate.
It's mad, and it's just a natural thing to happen.
Because two lads scrapping inside a chipper have their heads down and they're throwing all around them. You know, it's nice, rah, rah, rah. And those of us who haven't boxed, but, like, to be looking into the eye
And I know, and it's just, and this person who you might like, you might not like, and some of them you're just indifferent. Most of the time you are, but you're just locked in each other's eyes, and then you're dishing out punishment at each other, and the eyes, they don't lie. You know, they're like
you're seeing into each other's soul a little bit.
You know what's going on, and you can read a person when you're looking in their eyes.
Perhaps is that one of the reasons when a fight ends, two fighters really embrace because they've seen something of each other.
Yeah, and they've been there, and they go through it. Like they take stuff, they take a little bit out of each other as well.
Yeah,
like they're never the same again. You know, no matter, some more than others, but you're always, every time you go in that ring, you lose a little bit of yourself.
Really?
I think so. In a hard fight, you do. You're never the same after it. In a hard fight.
Do you mean physically, mentally, emotionally?
Yeah, physically. And you're better for it emotionally because you've come through it. You've passed a test. Mentally,
we'll
wait and see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. It's kind of a fascinating thing. I presume you could detect fear sometimes in an eye or someone really in trouble, panicking.
Yeah.
Detect panic.
You can see it, yeah. You know when they're ready to go. I can remember when I fought Vera, my first fight, he beat me, he upset me. And he gave me a good fight. Like we were both trading, slugging, and he beat me. And in the rematch, it was complete reversal because he'd headbutted me in the first fight and split my lip. But we clashed heads in the second fight, and he got a bad cut on his eye. And I remember looking at his eyes and looking at the cut as well. And I was just like pounding that cut all night. Like it was a 10-round fight, and I was getting, like, it's horrible to say, I was getting so much pleasure out of him wincing and just seeing him, seeing it in his eye, and seeing kind of the blood, as the blood drained away, kind of the fight drained out of him as well, you know. So
God, it's so primal.
Yeah, it is. Like, but there was a bit, like, that was a big backstory because it was long build up, and
sure,
I wanted to sort of revenge.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
And sometimes can you see like aggression and almost be taken aback by a certain fierceness in someone's eye?
Yeah, sometimes you can. Like sometimes you know, like you might be hitting a person or a fight, and everyone's saying, you have him, but you know he's not ready. You know he's still there to fight, like, and you know he's determined. And some fights people might think, like, when I fought Anthony Fitzgerald, people thought that was going to be a complete walk for me. You know, he was a guy who was a domestic level fighter from Dublin, but I knew he was a tough man, and to fight me was going to be a big fight for him and a big stage for him. And I could see it in his eyes. I could see it in his eyes. I said, this is going to be a long night. And I just settled in, and I knew that we were going to go the distance. And he gave me a good fight.
God, it's amazing. It's just an endlessly fascinating sport to talk
about.
It's
in the eyes. So
the psychology of it, I mentioned Campbell won't have any hang-ups, but you were always touted against Golovkin. That fight was always being mooted, and I know you wouldn't have any hang-ups either. Came from similar stock and crossed paths as amateurs, but how do you think fighters get into that frame of mind when they're taking on the boogeyman? Because I know Buster Douglas always says people fought Mike Tyson with one foot out of the ring almost. So
yeah, you just have to be kind of solid, or like you have to kind of have an iron win and be like, just have the kind of resolve in yourself that I can be the one to do it. I think, you know, I always thought if I got that fight with Golovkin, I would just go out there and have a fight with him because I knew I couldn't outbox him. And maybe Campbell would think the same, that I'm the bigger man, I'm going to rush out here at the start. He will give you opportunities early on while he's warming up and just try and put it on him, you know. But you have to get the respect. And any time when there's a guy, like, and some that can have a huge effect when there's a favourite in a fight and he's expected just to walk a fight, and then he's coming up against some real, you know, adversity, that can have a huge effect. It can almost, like, have more of an effect than it should in terms of, like, if you're expecting a hard fight, then you're ready for that. But Lomachenko might be expecting an easy run of this. And if he comes up against a tough fighter, like a tough four or five rounds where he's tired as well after four or five rounds, then it'll be interesting.
Clock coming against us. What kind of personality is Lomachenko?
It's hard to know. He doesn't speak English, and this is probably the biggest barrier in him becoming a complete crossover star. But he's improving all the time.
Taking lessons the last year.
Yeah, he's improving all the time. So it's hard to know.
He's a bit better, like, so Golovkin can't really speak English, but he still tries to do it, and there's almost a charm in that, like a big drama show, and, you know, whereas I think Lomachenko's actually pretty good.
Is he show-offy, ostentatious, playing to the crowd?
In or the ring, yeah. Like he does the matador stuff, the bullfighting poses, this kind of stuff, okay. The looking into the distance, what Billy Joe Saunders did. So
okay.
He's got these little tricks, and then he does a backflip when he wins. So
okay.
He does a showbiz.
There is a bit of showbiz.
His training is so unorthodox. Like, you know, he rarely does sparring. He rarely does, like, traditional boxing training. He will do stuff where he's juggling three balls at one time, or like stacking blocks and holding them, balancing and walking around the ring. Just look at his people have a quick YouTube of him and some of his training techniques there.
He'll hit the speed bag and then go over and solve a maths problem and then go back and hit it again.
I was reading, he's a very rounded person. Like, he loves reading, like, is not just boxing, is into other things. Is boxing training in any way stuck in the past and too rooted in the traditions and, like, you know, Rocky go out and chase the chicken kind
no,
of stuff?
No, it's, well, there was a fight at the weekend, boxing fans will know that there was a guy who fought Anthony Yard, and his coach is a case study in himself, but they have very unconventional training methods, and he came up short. I think when you're a fighter like Lomachenko, who's over 300 amateur fights, you know, world champion now, he's done it all, he's proved himself, he has all that skill, and believe me, when he started out, he wasn't doing this stuff. He was drilling, repetition, doing all of those stuff. So now, at this stage, he has the luxury of, and also, you don't want to burn him out. I think have to be very careful with him now at 31, that he's probably past his best physically, but they want to prolong it as long as he can go.
Make him some money. He doesn't run anymore, apparently. He doesn't do road work.
Yeah.
Is what I was reading as well. So, most likely, are you going to go over to it?
No, Ronan's
going over.
There.
Yeah.
Ronan's there. I'll be watching.
Okay. Best guess as to what will happen?
Late stoppage for Lomachenko.
Probably similar, maybe points win. I think if Campbell can go the distance, it'd be a moral victory.
I'd hope so, yeah. I'd like to see him do it. Go the distance, Campbell.
Hopefully he'll come again, because he is a world-level talent. It's whether he can actually get a good fight. Like, he's had it. Linares is really tough, and now this is even tougher.
Because wasn't, like, Rigondo meant to be like, oh, this is going to be a really intriguing fight, and it wasn't?
Rigondo quit, found a way, but the only thing with Rigondo, he was the smaller man, wasn't he, you know, and he was just up against it. And look, I spoke in here recently with Nathan, that fighters who don't quit, who go on and take punishment, and we've seen what can happen recently. There's been two deaths in the space of a weekend from fighters who went on too long, so
yeah,
we have to change that culture of shaming.
Yeah, fair point. So Lomachenko against Luke Campbell. It's on Saturday in the O2 Arena, and obviously I'm sure the appetite was whetted anyway, but it certainly is now. Ronan Mullen, thanks very much.
Thanks,
Andy
Joe.
Lee.
Thanks,
pleasure
Joe.
Having you in.
Yeah, thank you.
Off the ball.
Find us on Twitter @OffTheBall.
News Talk 106 to 108.